So this message is not just about scandalous grace. It's about how do you find the grace to go on when your life has turned into a scandal? How do you find the grace to keep on living when you've made mess after mess and bad choice after bad choice? How do you find the grace to survive a divorce, a travesty, an accident, an incident, a moment of bad judgment? How do you find the grace? And David gets up off of the ground. And the Lord sent me here to tell somebody, you've been on the ground long enough, and you have cried long enough, and you have walked the floor, and you've been depressed, and you have blamed yourself long enough, and it's time for you to get up off of the ground. And all of that dirt and all of that dust and all of that guilt and all of that shame, God said, it's time to wash your face, to wash it out of your spirit and wash it out of your mind and wash it out of your heart and wash it out of your behavior and wash it out of your songs and wash it out of your attitude. It's time to wash your face. You can't go into the presence of God carrying the dust of yesterday. You can't go into the presence of God with your head down, feeling ashamed of yourself. You can't go into the presence. It's time to wash your face. And the Bible said that David washed his face and anointed himself. He refreshed himself. And he went into the house of God. And I came to tell you this Sunday morning that there is a way back from a fall. That there is a way back from a crash. That there is a way back from a disaster. That there is a way back from a conflict. That there is a way back from a crisis. That there is a way back from a divorce. That there is a way back from a disgrace, that there is a way back from embarrassment, but you cannot find your way back if you're going to measure how close back you are to God by how people talk. Because this is not about people, this is about God. And it's about what God has to say, and it is not about what they have to say, because they have something that if they were honest about, they would be laying on their face before God too. And stop allowing your destiny to lay in the hands of men who are dirtier than you. And you don't see David meeting with people or reading the blog sites and trying to see what they're saying about him, because the truth of the matter is whether they say Hosanna or crucify him, your destiny is not in the hands of men. It is in the hands of God. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And if God says live, none of what they said can kill you. But if God says die, none of them all together can make you live. So David saw a moment and a chance and an opportunity to take God up on a second chance. And he washes the dirt off of his face and he anoints himself with oil and he changes his garments. Because David, better than anybody else, knows that in order to enter into his gates, you have to come in with thanksgiving. And into his courts, you have to come with praise. You cannot enter into his gates with guilt and condemnation. And some of you are trying to access God, but you have not washed your face. You have to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And it's hard to get your praise back. And you're laying in your predicament. So David washed his face and he anointed himself with oil and he changed his garments. And some theologians say it was of this moment that he wrote the text, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go back into the house of the Lord. I was glad to hear that I hadn't gotten so far away from God that God would not bring me back home. And I am here to tell you that you have not gotten so far away from God that God will not take you back home. The question is, do you have the courage to wash your face? Do you have the courage to anoint yourself with oil? Do you have the courage to change your garments and walk past all the whisperers who think they have the right to whisper about you but actually are no better than you at all? Do you have the courage to walk past all of them and to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise? Because if you do, you will understand scandalous grace. And if there's anybody that owes God a praise, I don't know about the perfect people, and I don't know about the self-righteous people, and I don't know about the people who never smoked or chewed or ran around with any of them that do. I don't know about them, but to all of us who have ever gotten it wrong and ever messed up and ever made mistakes and ever had regrets, if there's anybody that has a right to give God the praise, it ought to be you. That's why the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because you don't really have a praise until you got a praise you don't deserve. You don't really have a praise until it's a praise that has come from sackcloths and ashes. The person sitting next to you might not understand it, but there's some people that are watching right now that know that you are eating by his grace. You are living by his grace. You are moving by his grace. You are walking by his grace. You are talking by his grace. And if nobody else gives God a praise, it ought to be you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I need somebody who's messed up that will open their mouths and thank God for scandalous grace. I need somebody in this room who's been to hell and back, and God has given you a second chance to open your mouth and give God a praise. Oh, I need somebody that don't care what you got on, don't care what you look like, don't care what people say about you, but you made up in your mind, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm gonna give you about 30 seconds to open your mouth and give God a praise. I'm gonna give you about 22 seconds to make some noise in this place and give God a praise. I'm gonna give you about 10 seconds to come off of your self-righteousness and give God a praise. God is about to give you a second chance and a new beginning. Somebody shout a hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, for a fresh start. Thank you, Lord, for starting me over. Thank you, Lord, for giving me life. Thank you, Lord, for making a way out of. Thank you, Lord, I'm so glad about it. Thank you, Lord, you did it again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank God for favor. And the Bible says that when David got through praising God, he goes and finds Bathsheba and he comforts her. He comforts her. I'm not sure what he said. But nobody can comfort you like somebody who's messed up too. Nobody can comfort you like somebody who's experienced scandalous grace. Nobody can comfort you like somebody who's been there and done that. Nobody can comfort you like somebody who's taken a class in humility and learned how to humble themselves up under the mighty hand of God. Nobody can comfort you like somebody who's seen God dig them out of a ditch. And they're not ashamed to say, I owe him the praise and the honor and the glory. Nobody can comfort you like somebody who's been a patient, who's been a client, who's been a recipient, who's been a prisoner, who's been handcuffed and chained in the bondages of sin and seeing God give them a second chance. Nobody can comfort you like them. David came in and comforted Bathsheba. And somewhere along the way in the process of comforting her, he went in and slept with her. And out of David's gross, dark, depraved selfish, debaucherous sin. And God's amazing, scandalous grace. Bathsheba was with child. I want to speak to somebody who's lost something and you think your life is over. And God is saying, I'm going to do it again. And there she is. And her ankles are swelling and her belly's getting big. And she's got a little mask on her face. And she's pregnant. And she's gone from birthing a child to having the next king of Israel. For this time, Bathsheba, who was Uriah's wife. Imagine that God would allow Solomon, the wisest man in the world, the successor to David's throne, to be born out of David's failure. If there's not a message in that, there's not a message in anything at all. That God would use David's mistake to birth David's miracle. 9 months later, Uriah's wife pushed out of her body the next king of Israel. And I'm telling you that God can still get some good out of the worst moment in your life. That you will, if you will allow him, to get you out of the dirt and the ashes and the despair of where you've been, that there is yet a king and a common woman who got herself in a debaucherous situation at the hands of a weak and selfish man, that out of your coupling and coming together would come the next king of Israel. And today, all I want you to know is that there is yet a king inside of you. And you ought not let nothing take you out in this present moment until you see what's next in your life.